Call to order this meeting, special board meeting, August 30th, 2017. Roll call.
President Bekovich?
Here.
Director Graff?
Yeah, here.
Director Clark?
Here.
Director Merchant?
Here.
Director Passett?
Here.
Item two, adopt our agenda. Do I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
Great. Comments from the public?
Deafening silence.
There it is.
I'm surprised John isn't here.
Okay. No comments, then we'll move into item four. This is the acceptance of apparent low bid and consider contract award to Bradley and Sons, Inc. for the emergency well project.
Yes, so the item we have here is more of a follow-up from our August 16th board meeting. We held off approval of this project pending agreement on a right of entry and a use agreement with John Sullivan, Cal Anderson Ward. But I just wanted to bring this back to your attention for more information and update. We are in the process of still negotiating the use agreement. I sent back a red line confidential copy, otherwise I'd share it with you. But generally, it was originally tied to the terms of a 1994 agreement with Fred Anderson. It was related to a water supply augmentation well. So it had a lot of terms and conditions related to our use for an augmentation supply wherein we paid for an acre-foot cost of water that we used. Likewise, Cal Anderson Ward or Fred Anderson, whoever was going to use that water on their side would pay a similar amount of money. But because we envision this to be an emergency well, we're only going to use it in times of extreme emergency. So we would only pay for our own cost, which would be basically O&M and electrical cost. Carol has indicated through John that she intends to expand her use and storage of CIA ditch water. So her use of the well would only be as a result of severe drought conditions. So we've changed conditions so that she would only use it in extreme emergencies or droughts. And she would pay for electrical charges and standby charges and demand charges, if any, after her use, as well as O&M costs on a pro-rata basis. And there'd be no per acre-foot cost either way. But that's the initial deal points. We haven't reached final agreement yet. We still have an understanding of a 100-foot by 100-foot site that could be narrowed down depending on the final layout of the piping and related equipment. So that's still in discussions. But I just wanted to bring this back so that you get a feel for where we are. As far as grant award, that period is supposed to end December 31st of this year. But our project and several others still need to be finished. So the Regional Water Authority is pursuing an extension until June 30th of 2018. So we're not under extreme pressure to get it done this fall, but we want to move forward smartly and still try to get it completed by the end of December. So we have a little bit of wiggle room. Paul has spoken with Bradley and Sons, and they're willing to honor their contract and extend the award date until such time as we have a use agreement in place. Hopefully, we can get it done by the end of, or not the end, but by our September board meeting so that we can turn them loose by the end of September. So I just, that was the intent of bringing it forward, just to give you an update.
So, quick question. When do we know guarantees on the extension of the grant? Did they give you an ETA?
No, I can check back with Rob Swartz at the Regional Water Authority, but I can tell you from past experience that extensions were pretty easy to get.
Because they've already extended it once, I think, once or twice.
Once a year for like 5 or 6 years.
Okay, all right.
But the grant covers final implementation, right?
That's right. It covers, you know, we have our local share, and then we have the grant share. So we have to spend our money first, and then, you know, the grant share kicks in after ours. So we would, but actually, we would spend all of our money first and then get reimbursed for the money from the state.
If we go with strictly a emergency well, the final implementation is pretty close to the test implementation, is it not?
So the state, in my discussions with Rob, right now phase one is to drill a well, but not equip it. But the state would like to see, and they're hopefully paying for a full operational well. So phase two, once we know the safe yield, we can size the pump and the controls and everything else and come back in and put the mechanical equipment in in the fall, or maybe even a little bit later, depending on how fast we can get the project out on the street to bid and award.
And a way to deliver it on top of it.
Yes.
Right, because the point of having the hole in the ground is that if it is an emergency, you can move quickly to start pumping.
Well, yeah, it will be able to pump, but we'll end up having a valve and a blind flange that we would put temporary piping in so that we could pipe it into wherever we wanted to into our system. And if we had to put additional filtration, we can do that likewise.
So where would we put it in?
Well, there's several options. One is to connect it into Cantova. The other is to try to find a way to run it up to one of the tanks, Rioso, put it in there.
So that's assuming we have a remote treatment associated with that, if we're talking about putting it into
I think this is, if I'm not mistaken, Paul, this water is supposed to be the best water, better than it was up at Cantova.
It's better, but that's part of the proofing of the well. So when the well is put in and then they do the pump test, they're going to get a water quality analysis out of it as well. And that's going to help you figure out what you need as far as equipment. Are you going to need
I would be shocked if we do anything other than a big tanker to load the tanker and move it wherever we need to move it.
Well, I think, you know, maybe after we get the well in place, we can sit down and figure out what kind of emergency we would plan for and address how we'd like to use that well then.
Yeah, I'm trying to get, even like Jerry said, using a tanker well, if we've got 7,500 people and we've got a tanker, I mean, I don't know.
You bring your jug and get
the water. I was thinking maybe we'd be lining up with the jug on our head, you know, coming over. Is that what happens? Is that what we're going to get out of this? I'm just trying to understand if we're shut down and this is the only water we have, what is that? Does it get you a pitcher a day or does it get, you know?
I'll let Paul.
It depends on the yield of the well. So ideally, it could just be put in directly into the system. So you're going to turn on your tap and it's just going to supplement the water that's existing in the system. Potentially, depending on water quality and if treatment's needed, one of the options that was looked at potentially is to route it up to the reservoir. So then it could go through the treatment facility. And now we're not, you know, double treating the water. Or you could potentially rent a facility such as a rain for rent treatment process that you run it through on a temporary basis.
Well, like the GE trailer.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
But I'm trying to get.
But I think the capacity, how many gallons a minute? It was roughly 400 gallons a minute. Was that going to be?
It was anywhere between 350 and 550, so kind of in that range, yes.
And how much is that per million gallons a day? It's a little bit.
I can't do it in my head, but I think that's like.
Well, in just general terms, if we have a catastrophic failure that causes us to use a well, do we then, because we have this well, notice no difference in service, no interruption in service, does everybody get a pitcher a day? I'm trying to get an idea of what it means.
I personally think it'll be similar to the Texas situation where you get what you can bring temporary source.
Because I'm having trouble visualizing what this does for us. I mean, does it do more? Jerry's talking about filling a tank. Well, what if we rent tanks instead of the well? I mean, I'm bring the water from somewhere else. I'm not against this. I'm trying to understand. Like we're telling people, oh, we have an emergency supply. Well, do we have a guarantee everybody gets a pitcher a day? Does everybody take two showers a day? What does it mean?
So at that point, if we're getting into there, we have a drought contingency plan, so that would be in effect until we got to stage five of it, where we're cutting out all outside water use, and then it's going to indoor use. The state actually sets a per capita basis of something like 55 gallons per day per person as a must need. You know, hopefully, at the very minimum, we'll meet it. If this is 350 gallons a minute, that's a 500,000 gallons a day. That potentially could meet the demand of that very basic amount.
Yeah, okay. But, meets a demand of 55 gallons per person per day.
Yeah, but then, you know, there's fire flow demand, and that's why we have tanks. So, you know, the most important thing is actually meeting your fire flow demand. So there's a lot of variables that would float around with it, but we would be implementing our drought contingency plan as we're getting into that sort of situation before we even implement kicking the well on, I would assume. So this is going to be something that's going to have to be rolled into the drought contingency plan, saying when we get to this stage, this is what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to move forward and getting that well ready to go in the service and into the system. But all that depends on what, how much that water can put out, you know, the well can put out, and what the quality is, and if it can go directly in the system, or if it has to go up to Chesbrough.
And what do you guys envision the, why would we need this? Is it because of a drought? Because we've just done a whole study that said, oh, we don't need this water, or is it catastrophic, something happens to our lakes?
The latter.
Okay.
Yes, I think this would be a catastrophic event, whether there's contamination of lakes or fire that takes down the water treatment plant or something to that effect.
Well, my point is,
crash lands.
It probably doesn't happen now. It probably happens when we build houses all the way around our lakes.
Oh, maybe.
Okay, that's my point. The other thing is, what can you review for me again what Carol says kicks in her right or desire to use the well? How does that work?
The exchange that we've had so far is just a verbal dialogue, is that she plans on expanding her use of CIA ditch water, including additional storage. So she is looking to her own project for drought protection, but in extreme circumstances when a severe drought occurs, she would tap into the well at that time, but no other time. It won't be for any makeup water or anything else. She feels she has sufficient CIA ditch water available to her, and then with an expanded storage, she'll even have more.
How much do you have any idea, like what kind of usage that would be? In other words, if there was a condition that caused her and us
at the same time
to require to go into the well at the same time, what does that mean in terms of how much the well would yield? And
I can't speak with any specifics to Carol, so I'll have to get back and make a note of that and get back and try to bookend the usage.
Condition for her use is more likely an early termination of the CIA ditch flow. That would be more likely to trigger that, and our reservoirs are independent of that.
Right. So in other words, if
the likelihood is
in a drought condition where there's not enough water going down the ditch, she
It's still running today, but it sometimes could quit in June if it were really bad.
And but I'll definitely bookend it.
Yep. So quick question related to that, and then I'll let Les go. Talking about the pump on the top that actually, you know, would pull the water out and do something with it, who pays for that?
So that's part of the grant project.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a local share and a state share.
Right.
And I don't recall, it's either 50-50 or 75-25.
Right. But I mean, if we're fronting for something that Carol would theoretically get benefit from, is she a partner in that payment?
No, this is our well. Okay. And the agreement is for the use and siting of that well.
Okay.
So that's her compensation.
Right.
Is the access to the well.
But she would pay power.
She would pay power.
If she was using it,
pro-rata,
she'd be able to
O&M.
Pay for it.
Yes.
Right, but if the pump breaks, we pay for it. Overhead of putting the pump in.
It would be
ours.
Well.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Our well motor.
Go ahead,
and for that consideration, you know, first right of emergency use might be something we want to build into the agreement.
Okay.
And are, do you feel confident that we will have all the terms of the final agreement and easement prior to the September, or just a an MOU to sign it?
An MOU. That would be binding, and it would just be up to the attorneys for the legalese, but there'd be no new terms added once we reach agreement on the MOU.
So that will come back to us at September?
I'm endeavoring to bring it to you then, yes.
Okay. Right.
He's trying to get a response. It has been for a couple weeks.
All right. So, yeah, that emergency, first right of refusal, that would be important in the agreement.
I got that.
That's it for now.
Okay.
Can you tell me? I know we're trying to get the grant and the delay and everything, but you know, it's kind of like the water plant thing again. Why would we spend $300,000 without an absolutely firm signed agreement?
Well, the best would be a signed agreement. But the next best would be a signed and binding MOU. So I think, you know, we've worked in the past with MOUs as the basis for moving forward for agreements, and that has proved successful. I can only go by past experience.
No, I know.
Yeah.
So are they both the same?
Depends on the words of the MOU.
Because, you know, if
how binding it is.
I know if you have a signed agreement, someone says, well, I changed my mind. Well, that's hard to do. But if you have an MOU and someone says, well, maybe we ought to change this, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the firm permanent easement is preferable, but you'll have to wait and see where you're at a month from now, how it relates to the schedule to get the project done, and how long Bradley's willing to keep the bid price open. And that'll be a calculus to be determined.
And I think just to add, you know, a comment that while we have strong belief that the yield and the quality is there, there is still some level of uncertainty when you're drilling a well like this, when you haven't drilled a test hole. So it carries some risk for going forward, and having a final agreement at this point in time, and then have a well that doesn't yield or has inadequate water quality, that final agreement would have to be, in effect, reversed.
Mm-hmm. What have we done abandoned. To date?
Yeah. So there was a geological analysis of these soils and the grounds over there, and then that's where they picked those sites to figure out. And they did do a test well, but it was a very small, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have any screening. So when they're pumping out, they're blowing air in to push the water out, and it's just a muddy mess. So when you get water quality analysis out of it, they try to filter it and then send it out to the lab. So it gives you a kind of, you know, idea of what's there.
But a lot of the uncertainty has disappeared based on the test well, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they figure out what are the types of gravels and, you know, the soil, you know, where they're going to site the well. They figure that all out.
The other test well we drilled in wasn't at this location, though, was it?
One of them was.
One of them was.
Yes.
Oh.
How come we found this when we dug? How many holes did we dig?
So it's a good question. When we were looking, though, in the early late 90s, we were looking for 1,400 acre feet, and that was a lot. So it was on the order of 1,000 gallons a minute, and we couldn't get that. And we couldn't get that in multiple wells at the time. So.
And this is a really special hole?
No, this is far less capacity, far less volume that we need.
Okay. But it's really no different than all the other holes that we dug?
This is better.
This is artesian.
Closer to the river.
Artesian, yeah.
So. Hit the neighbor's hose.
So as far as tonight goes, I mean, do you... It's just an update. There's no real motion.
I mean, if you want to let us turn us loose, that's okay. If you don't, we understand, and we'll bring it back in September.
Just explain to me. I'm sorry. I just don't understand lots of stuff. What's the rush? Is there a rush? I know that we don't have the grant, but we're working on it. I get that part. But what's the rest of the rush?
So the original rush is we thought the grant was going to close out in December. So that's why we were really pushing. Now that we know it's going until June, you know, we could throw the dice and figure that it's going to get approved and it's going to go to June and there's not this big rush. But the other rush we have is we put it out to bid and we have a contractor with a good bid that he's willing to hold. So that's the only other rush.
And is there a scenario where we do that and then we don't get the grant and then we eat the whole thing?
That could be. But the likelihood of the grant getting extended is, Rob says he thinks it's 99.8%. He said he's, you know, almost guaranteeing it. He said they've never turned him down, is what he said. So.
Wow. And the uncertainty factor remains until the well is drilled.
That's right.
And tested.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'd do that with my money. I don't know. I'm not comfortable. But I don't know. What do you want? Do you want to vote? What do you want to do?
Oh no, no. I'm saying if you want to hold off until the middle of September, we can do that, and I can sit down and talk to you a little bit more offline, and we can, you know, hash things out. Yep.
Now those things that would concern me are the probability of the final terms of the final easement and agreement, and so I'd rather wait until those are clearer and more certain.
Okay,
sure. So here's the thing that I read this too, is that we got to have a pretty definitive answer by the September board meeting. I don't want to kick the can another time after that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, and because we get, I mean,
it's only been 3 years.
I know, but that's kind of the deal. Is that they're being gracious enough to give us an extension on their price. Mm-hmm. If Carol's motivated to get this thing done, then John should be motivated to come up with the MOU and get it to you.
Yep. Okay.
So we got a grant that's kind of hanging out over above us that we have fair confidence that it'll get extended, but there's never any guarantees in anything. So we got to keep marching, and I'd say we get to September and make a call.
So I don't know if, you know, we went from, and granted these bids go, you know, from one end of the spectrum to the other, but we went from getting no bids for 3 years, and that's the only reason we were,
because of the drought.
The only reason we're here now is we couldn't get anybody to drill the well.
And we got lucky.
Well, now we got five guys to drill the well. So if, I don't know, I'm not saying, you know, don't try and get these guys, but if we don't get them, I'm not sure that's the end of the world. I mean, if there's six guys here that are willing to drill a well, maybe there'll still be six guys in 2 months or whenever we get everything lined up.
The other thing you can't predict is the weather, partly to mostly. So, you know, we could be hitting another drought here next year. You never know. And then you're going to have trouble finding somebody to drill a hole again, which is why we couldn't get it done. So, I don't know.
You know, part of John's questions really do have to do with when would we use this well? And so you talked about an emergency response plan and so on. So I don't know if is there any thought to actually develop? You know, when would this be an issue? Obviously, as long as we've got water in the lakes and the water treatment plant is working,
right?
We'd never
but
use
like,
it.
Here's the thing I'd say to you on Maury on that one is we had our closest threat less than 30 days ago when Deer Creek Hills caught on fire. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, 200 yards from our fence in the north. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where that fire stopped, you know. And if it had gotten through to the water treatment plant, then we would have been in a scenario pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the kind of thing that, you know, it would be interesting as to when would this occur? I mean, if, say, the water treatment plant shut down for whatever reason, is this a situation we look to the well, or would we get that GE temporary deal and just essentially set it up in the location? And
well, yeah, but you know, you can't snap your fingers and it's not here tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Right. True.
If something happens today, it'll take you months before you get anything in, even on an urgent basis.
And in addition to that, you're
less than months.
In addition to that,
staying around.
you're, in addition to that, you're not going to rely on a single source of emergency action in a situation like that. So this would be one component of it. It would be generally more readily available than the others, and it is an insurance policy for the community. And so we ought to seriously consider it, given the bid spread in favorable times. I think this is still a good bid that would save the district some money. So,
Are you complete on your thought, Maury?
It's just a question of, obviously, if we're going to have an emergency response plan,
yeah,
a little more clarity on, you know, when would this. Certainly a lot of the farmers downstream have expressed concern. Well, you're putting a well in, you're going to be sucking our groundwater, and being able to say, hey, no, we're really only looking to use this in these three conditions.
Right. So
that have never happened in the 60 years we've been here.
Right, solidifying the conditions in which it would have to be used. Yeah.
Well, that's why I maintain you're not going to spend millions of dollars to pipe it from the well up to the tanks or into the water plant.
I think you're right.
That's I agree. That's the question is, depending upon what the disaster is we're trying to take care of, I mean, that might give more clarity of what we're going to, you know, where do we tie this into the system? And is it indeed, as Jerry talked about, you just pull it up and put it in a tank and run a tank, you know, train of tankers up and down the hill. Mm-hmm.
But I agree. I think we should work more on our emergency response plan and disaster plan for the for a catastrophic water failure. And we can take a look at, you know, various options. This might be only one of them. We might have several other alternatives that we can take a look at, too.
Okay.
And just one more thought, citing Murphy's Law.
B. Murphy.
What if CSD drills the well and final agreement is not reached? What is the disposition of the constructive facilities? It's just something to consider in the term sheet.
Okay.
Yep.
I would assume we would, if that in that condition, we would get a thank you card from Carol.
At least if they use what was given before, we've got 60 days to pull out.
Even get a free horse ride.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I think we're good on 4-9, guys. So we'll move to 5, closed session. Okay. Closed session. Here we go.
Thank you.